Thank you, Brother Sutton. Everybody say amen. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. It endureth unto all generations. Hallelujah. I am thrilled to be in Birmingham. I could not have picked a better weekend to be with you all. We got 8 to 10 inches of snow, possibly a little bit more, in Wichita last night, on top of 5 inches of ice that was already on the highways. This morning, I talked to my wife, and she read the paper to me, and we've had people killed on automobile accidents on the highways on that ice. And it's cold, it's white, it's dangerous, and I am in the green, green grass of Alabama. Hallelujah. You can always tell a redneck. We have them in Wichita. I called one of my elders this morning. We put on the radio last night that we were canceling church today. And I said, what are you doing up so early? Well, I got up early. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm on the river. I said, who you got with you? And he had my son and another young man. And they were duck hunting, and the snow was still coming down. 5 inches of ice on the highway, 8 to 10 inches on our parking lot. And I said, I want y'all to go to church. If y'all can go duck hunting, y'all can go to church. We got four-wheel drive. I said, use it for God. Praise God. I'm glad to be with Brother and Sister Young. I wish them well in their work in California. And I thought when Brother Young left Alabama, he was going to retire. But evidently, he just refired. Amen. And I would not be anywhere else on Sunday morning except Birmingham. You are not to tell anybody that I preached for y'all this morning. Amen. Brother Wilbank snuck in here last night, found out I was going to preach this morning, and I turned him down here a few weeks ago. And he's a friend. He's a great friend. But there's no friend like Brother and Sister Sutton and their children. The Lord blessed Brother Sutton by giving him 3 wonderful daughters. And 3 wonderful son-in-laws. However, all these boys, they definitely overmarried. They overmarried. Praise God. And now Brother Sutton is joining the ranks of us grandfathers. And I think Sister Sutton is going to make a fine grandmother. She's going to make a fine, fine grandmother. My wife always sits on the second row to my right. And all the grandkids sit with her. They range from 1 year to 9 years old. They love their pawpaw. They think they own him. And I don't dare look in their direction. Because when I look in their direction, they're going to holler at me. Amen. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1. Amen. If my family lived anywhere in the area of Alabama, I would want them to attend New Life United Pentecostal Church. First of all, I know that the word is preached here. I could not have the liberty that I have if the truth had not already been preached in this pulpit. Secondly, y'all have a great spirit of worship. Don't ever lose that spirit of worship. Praise God. Amen. I enjoy sitting down front and watching y'all worship. And I like the flipper. Hallelujah. I like the runners. I like it all. I like every bit of it. Praise God. And if the world asks you what you're doing, just tell them you're doing what you like. Amen. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then verse 13 is the key verse when he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat that same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And then he gives us four neithers. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. We are not reading in the Old Testament. We're reading under the new covenant. When somebody says, I don't want any doctrine and I don't want any law in my life, they have opened themselves up to such great temptation that there will be no way that they're going to be able to resist the wicked one. The law of the Lord is our strength. The law of the Lord does not stand between you and God. The law stands between you and hell. We are not under bondage when we are facing Christ. We have the perfect law of liberty. God does not hinder anyone from moving closer to Him. There's no obstacle between you and God. But if you turn around and you are facing the world and you are facing the devil and you are facing hell, the law of the Lord stares you in the face and shouts at you very loudly. And the reason they say that we're under bondage is they think we are facing the same direction that they're facing. We're not facing hell and the devil and the world. We're facing heaven and Christ. You may be seated. I want to talk about the anatomy of a temptation. None of us like the idea that we can be tempted with things that we know we ought not to do. I think we ought to be careful by saying, I will never do such and such. But I think we got to say, if the Lord will, we will not do those things. You see, we have not yet got to heaven or a perfect body. We're still in our flesh, unfortunately. Praise God. And because we're in our flesh, we are subject to everything that the devil can dish out. But by the grace of God, we are overcomers through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. There's no such thing as being too old to be tempted. There's no such thing as being too young to be tempted. There's no such thing as being too educated to be tempted. There's no such thing as being too beautiful to be tempted. You see, we're all in this world, and the devil is going to throw temptation at us on every hand. You see, we have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have been born again of the water and of the Spirit. We are not walking in death anymore, but we are walking in life. And as we have lived for God, we have learned how to overcome certain things in our lives. When I was in college and I was in the alcohol and the drug world, I was not only tempted with alcohol and those kind of things, but I yielded to that temptation, and consequently it was having some bad effects in my life. And so when I went to church and I received the Holy Ghost and God delivered me from that, I was still tempted to drink. I was still tempted to cuss. I was still tempted to do the things that I had done before. And the preacher said, I've got to learn how to overcome by the grace of God, through the power of the Holy Ghost, and by the blood of the Lamb. And so as I matured in Christ, there are some things I put behind me. Amen. I can go into an alcoholic's home and teach a Bible study and sit at his table while he drinks his Budweiser and smokes his cigarette, and we can learn the Bible together. And I'm not tempted anymore to drink because I have overcome the temptation to drink anymore. Praise God. I thank God for that. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Praise God. I don't come out of the world to be holier than you. I come out of the world so that I might go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Praise God. We have got to be overcomers, praise God. If we have a weakness in our life, we have to work on that until we overcome that situation, because God wants to send this church back into the world. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But until we have come out and until we have overcome, it would be very dangerous to go back into the world, praise God. Ooh, the Holy Ghost is in this place. Praise God. Now, temptation comes at times that we don't expect it to come. I have made a list of 10 areas that we ought to be very careful of in walking with God. Number one, when we face disappointments in life and we become disappointed, we have opened ourselves up to the wiles of the devil. We've opened ourselves up to being greatly tempted to the place that we cannot overcome. And so when we are disappointed, we better learn to take that disappointment to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I am disappointed, but I am not disappointed in you. And help me, O Lord, to overcome the spirit of disappointment. Praise God. Amen. Secondly, can be greatly disappointed after we go through a major trial in our life. Amen. When you are facing great trials, and maybe some of you, I feel the Holy Ghost, somebody's going through some of the trials of life right now, praise God. And as you've battled the trials of life and you become weak, the devil is going to come to you and say, what's the use? You're going through the trials and you're never going to go through this trial, and you're going to fall and you're going to be hurt through this trial. Let me offer you an alternative and a way out. You need to be careful when you go through the trials of life, because when we are tried, we shall receive the crown of life that our Heavenly Father has for us. Praise God. My Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Praise God. Amen. Thirdly, after we do great things, after we have had great accomplishments, I've known pastors and saints that have struggled most of their life, and all of a sudden they have a great breakthrough. Praise God. I have one friend that had a tremendous breakthrough. They had run about 35 in Sunday school and had run 35 and 40 in Sunday school for almost 15 years. And God gave them a breakthrough. And in that breakthrough, they went from 35 in Sunday school in less than 1 year, they was averaging almost 300 in Sunday school. And it was such a fantastic outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Before that time, the man was a faster and a prayer warrior. You could find him in the prayer room, and he would fast 10 and 14 and 21 days at a time, and he struggled and he fought every inch of the way. But when the breakthrough came, all of a sudden he found himself too busy to fast anymore, and too busy to visit the prayer room anymore, and too busy to do the things that he had once done to maintain his life with Christ. It's more important that you live for God than it is that you win 1,000 souls to the Lord. It's more important that you give your life, your personal life, to Jesus Christ than anything that you can accomplish in this life. But when God gives you great victory, you need to be aware that you open yourself up to great temptation. And if you're aware that you can be tempted, you can overcome the wicked one. Praise God. I had a man tell me one time, we had just come to Wichita, and the church was in shambles, and we had a lot of problems, and the church had gone through 3 major splits, and there was just a handful of people left in the congregation. And when I got there, we started prayer meetings, we started fasting, and we started preaching, and I started calling prayer meetings night after night after night, praise God. And they got sick of prayer meetings. And finally, one of the elders came to me, and he was fighting mad. He said, "Preacher, we are tired of you calling prayer meetings all the time." He said, "Don't you know we are busy people, and there's no sense in all this praying?" He said, "I'm sick of it." And he said, I'm not going to be at prayer meeting because I am too busy to pray. And I thought, when you go through times of busy, we all can get busy, but you cannot forsake your life in Christ. Praise God. You're never too busy in the morning time to open this book and read from that book. You're never too busy to bow your head in the morning time, at noon time, at the meal time, before you go to bed, and say, "Lord, I'm still here, and I still need you, and I praise you." Praise God. You cannot forget the Lord, no matter how busy you get. Praise God. We can have great temptations in weak moments. We all can go through our weak moments. Amen. Someone asked me one time, "How often should I speak in tongues?" And I know why they was asking, because they was trying to justify the fact that they had not spoken in tongues in 25 years. And I knew what they were doing. And I went home and I sat down at my desk and at my computer. And I got to studying and I got to praying. And I asked myself the question, how often should a man pray through? And I found the scripture where it says we're not saved by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And I thought, how often should I be renewed in the Holy Ghost? And when I got to studying and putting this sermon together, I realized that temptation comes at our most weak times. And I asked myself, why do we allow ourselves to become weak? And I realized there's a lot of things that would cause us to become weak. And it's not wrong to become weak. It's wrong to stay weak. And I realized after every major change in your life, you need a renewing of the Holy Ghost. How many got the Holy Ghost as a child? Can I see your hand? You got the Holy Ghost as a child. If you know anything at all about God, the Holy Ghost you have now is not the same Holy Ghost you had as a child. When I got the Holy Ghost as an older teenager, a young adult, and the Holy Ghost I have now, it is so greatly different, praise God. The Holy Ghost keeps me from things that I face today and that I don't face anymore that I faced back then, praise God. So when you go from childhood to adolescence, you ought to have a renewing of the Holy Ghost. And when you go from adolescence to teenage years, you ought to have a renewing of the Holy Ghost. And when you go from your teenage years to a young adult, you need a renewing of the Holy Ghost. When you go from a young adult to a married adult, my God, you need a double portion of the Holy Ghost. And when you go from being a husband and a wife to becoming a parent, you need a renewing of the Holy Ghost. Can I have it? Amen. When you face a time of sickness and you're in the hospital and you get out of that hospital, you need a renewing of the Holy Ghost. When you change jobs, you need a renewing of the Holy Ghost. When you have a battle with the devil, you need a renewing of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because we can become weak, but we cannot stay weak. And we're only strengthened as we are renewed in the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. The Holy Ghost spoke to me and said that this church was going to have a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But not everybody is going to enjoy that great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Because along the way, the tempter is going to come to you in a weak moment. But instead of being renewed, you're going to ride the crest of glory that the congregation is producing. You got to produce it for yourself, praise God. You've got to be personally renewed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praise God. One of the greatest phenomena of our hour is when you look around and see who is backsliding. And it's not the person that's struggling this backsliding, but it's that person that had lived for God for 15 years and 20 years, and suddenly they are backsliding because they don't understand this principle of change in their life. You're not the same person in your middle age as you were as a young man. You face different things. Your ideals change. Your body changes. Your mind changes. And if you don't get renewed in the Holy Ghost as a middle-ager, in your mid-years, you're going to lose out with God because you're not going to know where God is at. How many times have I had to go to the prayer room and say, Lord, there's something strange. I remember I made a list of 10 things that I wanted to accomplish in my life. And I thought when I made that list, they were astronomical situations that I couldn't even envision how that they were ever going to come to pass. And so one day I woke up and I realized that I had already accomplished 9 of the 10 things that I had set out to do. And I found myself with idle time and not knowing where to go and what to do, and I was confused, and I was kind of spaced out, and I didn't have a vision, didn't have any goals, and I realized that I had accomplished everything that I had worked all of my life to accomplish, and I needed a new set of goals, praise God. And I sat down and I spent 1 month in a prayer room praying and fasting and seeking God, and I never will forget the night that the Holy Ghost came came upon me as a middle-aged person, and God renewed me in the power of the Holy Ghost, and he opened my mind and gave me some new goals and some new ideals, and I thank God for that. Praise God. But if I hadn't have done that, I'm sure that I would be backslid and on the ash heaps of ruin, because in a weak moment I could have fallen. Praise God. But thank God for the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Listen to me, Birmingham. Listen to me, New Life. God has great things ahead for this church. You have not even began to accomplish everything that God has for you. At the same time, you want to be here when God does it, and you got to be renewed. I said you got to be renewed. 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 You got to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. Temptation comes when we let our guard down. Temptation comes when we face major setbacks in our life. And be aware of this. We all have setbacks in our life. And God sets us back to set us up. Somebody said amen. Amen. We have to be careful when we get lifted up in pride. That's right. We can all face pride, yes, in our life. Yes, temptation can come when we lose a loved one, amen, and we become very lonely. We can be tempted when the spirit of anger comes to us. Right. It's very important that these areas of our life, we become very vulnerable to the attack of Satan. Somebody said amen. Now, let me just see if I can share something with you. In 1973, in the state of Louisiana, we had 115 inches of rain. I was in revival in our home church, and during that time, and we had two tornadoes pass directly over the church. We didn't have a parking lot. We had just built a new building. There was 18 inches of fresh field dirt that we was going to compact and build a parking lot on, but it started raining. And so you can imagine it, when it rains and 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 rains on 18 inches of field dirt, it turns into a quagmire. And so we built a plywood ramp from the street to the front door of the church, and we had foot washing every night. We had pans, and we had people designated that when people come in, we'd have to wash their feet because the plywood would sag and the water would rise in the mud, and we had to put a bill of plywood wrap on top of the plywood ramp. And it was just a big mess. And everybody was saying, we can't have revival. The circumstances are too bad, blah, blah, blah. But in the midst of all that, we had a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And you have to learn how to overcome situations. Amen. There's no ideal situation. And so the levees, Concordia Parish has an 80-foot ring levee that encircles the entire county or the parish. And Concordia Parish is kind of in a bowl. And Cocodra Bayou flows through the middle of the parish. And at the lower end of the parish, they have these huge turbines that pump water out of the parish. And that is our drainage system. It rains and the bowl starts filling up. The turbines kick on. It starts pumping water out. And there's four huge turbines that pump the water out into the river. And but as the water began to rise in the Mississippi River, it got up about halfway of the levee, and the Corps of Engineers got worried about it. And so they started hauling in special sand, and they brought in a million sandbags. And they got volunteers, the National Guard, and the local people got to sandbag into that levee, and they built that levee up 4 more feet high. And the water got almost to the very top of the levee, and they said it's going to start falling, but it may get all the way to the top of the levee. And the river was supposed to crest at the same level that the top of the levee was. And so we sandbagged that levee. And somebody said, well, is the levee going to be able to hold all of this water back? And I never will forget one of the Corps of Engineers, one of their engineers said, if we can keep the water from trickling over the levees will hold. But if the water gets high enough and just a trickle of water goes over the levee and starts down the other side, the entire levee will give way and the deluge will fill the parish up. That's what happened in 1927 and 1949. We got pictures of my family in a motorboat right downtown Faraday. And all you can see is the top of the hotel on the main intersection. The water was about 25 foot high at that intersection because the levees broke. And they had to rebuild the levees. And the levees broke because just a trickle of water went over the levee. And when the trickle went over, the whole thing gave way. Praise God. That's what's so dangerous about temptation. That's what's so dangerous about yielding to the slightest of temptations, is because once you're tempted in one area, another area will be tempted. And once that area is tempted, another area will be tempted. It's very important that we reinforce ourselves in 2007. This is God's year. God is going to do great things in 2007. And we must undergird ourselves and prepare for the onslaught, not only of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, but from the battle of the devil himself. Praise God. But thanks be unto God, he gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Am I making any kind of sense? Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus knew that there's no such thing as social strata when it comes to temptation. You know, you don't get in a social strata that's not tempted. Neither do you get in a financial strata where you are not tempted. Neither can you get in a religious strata that you're not tempted. It doesn't matter who your preacher friends are. It doesn't matter who your saint friends are. They're not going to prevent you from being tempted. Your finances will not prevent you from being tempted. Your social strata will not keep you from being tempted. Somebody said amen. Every one of us, rich and poor, bond and free, black and white, red and yellow, and brown, must guard ourselves against the temptation of the enemy. Praise God. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when, not if, and when the tempter came to him. Now, it's very important to understand that your victory is not within yourself. Your victory is in the Holy Ghost. You cannot fight the devil in your flesh. You must be yielded to the Holy Ghost. Can I have an amen? Somebody said amen. Here's the beauty of it. It does not matter who you are. It doesn't matter how weak you become. The weakest child of God in this tabernacle is stronger than the devil. Jesus went in the wilderness to be tempted. And he purposely weakened himself. He fasted 40 days. What a diet program. 40 days was the maximum that you could fast because then the body starts eating itself. And he was as weak as a human being would ever become. And he sat and he waited. And when the tempter came, he caught Jesus at his very weakest moment. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It lets me know that the devil has no argument against the word that's in your mouth. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Praise God. That wasn't even a temptation. And so the devil takes him to the pinnacle or to the highest mountain and shows him all the kingdoms that the devil was so proud of. And said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. And Jesus said, you know, you don't have to give me anything. I'm going to take them. Do you remember when you was a kid in the summertime and you wanted a watermelon? You could went to the store and bought one for 50 cents. But, oh, it was so much more fun to crawl under the farmer's fence and steal that watermelon and take that watermelon. There's just something more juicy about a stolen watermelon than there is a bought watermelon. The devil, the Lord said, you're not going to give me anything, devil. I'm going to take back what you stole from me. That wasn't a temptation. But when Jesus, when he took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee. Now, even the devil did not understand what he said or what he done. But all of a sudden, Jesus understood, because as he looked across the spans of time, and he saw the cross, and he saw the nails, and he saw the cat of nine tails, and he saw the rod and the crown of thorns. He saw the suffering and the humiliation, and he saw his death. He was tempted. All he'd have to do was step off the pinnacle of that temple, and the angels would instantly catch him, and he would not dash his foot against the stone. But then he understood that if he stepped off and the angels ever caught him, then the angels would never allow him to die. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has stepped down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can I have an amen? It's very important to understand Jesus was tempted, and he was tempted in his very weakest moment. If you're a child of God, let me tell you something. Just because you're weak, reach up and call on the name of Jesus. Rebuke the devil and he will flee from you. Praise God. It doesn't matter how weak you are in your weakest moment. You are stronger than the devil. I said you are stronger than the enemy. Praise God. I don't care how weak the church may think it is or how strong they may think it is. In Christ Jesus, we have victory. We have victory. We have victory. We have victory. Hallelujah. Praise God. If we're going to overcome, if we're going to overcome temptation, there are three areas that we must have to overcome temptation. Number one, if we neglect the word. One of the things that helped me immensely when I was in college is Bible quizzing. And I was one of the first Bible quizzers. In fact, I was in Bible quizzing the first year it came out. It was on the book of St. John. And I asked the pastor, I said, how can I win the Bible quizzing? He said, if you'll memorize every word of the book of St. John. He didn't think I'd do it. And so I sat down and I memorized every word in the book of St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I started memorizing the book of St. John. I did not realize then that in years to come, that when I would get weak and I didn't have a Bible in my hand, and I was being tempted of the enemy, I could start quoting that which I had put to memory. Praise God. And I put to flight the armies of the aliens. Praise God. You cannot forsake the Word of God. If you don't have the ability to memorize, then you ought to have that Bible close and read something of it every day of your life. Give us this day our daily bread. Can I have an amen? Amen. Secondly, there's a phenomenon that has happened in Wichita, and I'm a personal person, and on Sunday night when I get through preaching and I want to walk off the platform, I am surrounded by kids, and usually I've got one on each foot. They have tore so many linings out of my jackets. that I'm embarrassed. I've got safety pins in the back where I keep them pinned up until they come completely out. Then I take them to the laundry, have them put in a new lining. Praise God. And my handkerchief, a lot of times on Sunday night when I get through, is not only sweaty, but it's snotty. Because I just can't pass up a little snotty-nosed kid without reaching down and cleaning their nose and say, blow, honk, 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 honk. Praise God. And I have to tie tennis shoes, and I get more kisses and more hugs. And one night I was locking up the church out in the foyer, and everybody was gone, and the lights pulled in through the parking lot and shined through the glass doors, and a man walked in. He said, can my daughter kiss you? I said, sure. She was about 2.5 years old, and I leaned down, and I gave her a hug and a kiss. And he said, now maybe she'll go to bed. She said, I took her home, put her pajamas on. She said, I didn't kiss Brother Cornwell. I got to kiss Brother Cornwell. I got to kiss Brother Cornwell. So she had to bring him. He had to bring her all the way back to church. Give me a kiss. I know I'm just irresistible. Praise God. But I've done that for 30 years. I'm dedicating the children of the grandparents that I prayed through 30 years ago. And somebody comes to me and says, well, Brother Cornwell, we need to talk about our young people. They're all backsliding. I said, name them. I said, name them. You always want to blame the preacher for your youngins backsliding. I challenge you to name the young people that's backslid out of this church. He didn't tell me to say this. But they'll start giving me names of young people. And I said, what do you want us to do different? I said, because nothing they haven't participated in anything else we've done. Why would they participate in that? Huh? But I promise you, we don't have one young person in our church in 30 years that has backslid, that has built a relationship with the man of God. But it's the parents that keep their children away from the man of God, that you hide your children from the man of God, and you give your children permission to do that which the man of God preaches against. Oh, Lord, I better get off this subject. Praise God. I want my children to have a relationship with men of God. When I bring a preacher to my church, I want my kids to sit with that preacher, and I want them to feel the heartbeat of that preacher. I want to know they're human and they're normal, but at the same time, they've got an anointing on their life, and they're chosen of God to lead and guide and instruct. There's no way you're going to live for God without one day having some kind of relationship with the man of God in your life. And number three, the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. When you praise God, you bring the presence of God to you. Can I have an amen? Even when you don't understand the preaching of the word, you've got to say, thus saith the word. Lord, it's the word. Can I have it? Amen. And if you'll obey his word, he will give you revelation in due time. Can I have it? Amen. When we are tempted, we're usually tempted by the sins we had before we were delivered. It's amazing, isn't it? Praise God. I'm not tempted by some things because I don't know about them. But I'm usually tempted by that which God delivered me from in the world. If you was a drinker and a rabble rouser and a party goer, first thing you're going to do is you're going to go back to a bar stool. If you was a smoker, the first thing you're going to do is smoke. If you had rebellion in your life and you was a rebel, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to buy yourself a pair of scissors. If you was into pornography, the first thing you're going to do is go back to a bookstore. If you was a thief, you're going to go back to stealing. If you was a liar, you're going to go back to lying. And there's a myriad of other temptations. You got to be careful that you need to constantly be aware of that which you came out of. And when you find yourself tempted to go back to where you came from, open your eyes and say, wait a minute, I can't go back again. Joseph is the greatest analysis of temptation that there was. Joseph is hurt and disappointed in a weak time. But he was a blessed man. He grew up with privileges. He grew up with great expectations. He had some serious setbacks in his life. Joseph suffered from disappointments. He suffered from loneliness. He suffered from great wrongs done to him. He had every right to be tempted. But at the same time, he undergirded himself and said, I cannot sin against my God. Let me tell you something. If you'll make God first in your life and put God ahead of everything else in your life, you'll be able to overcome the temptation when it comes your way. Let's all stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give myself to you. Would you lift your hand and say, Lord, you're the most important thing in my life. I give myself to you. Thy will be done in my life. Let's raise our hands and let's praise the Lord together. If you're here this morning and you need the Lord in your life, you need protection from temptation, I want you to come down this aisle right now. I want you to come right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Setting goals. My goals have to be geared towards strength in the Word of God, a new infilling of the Holy Ghost, strength against temptation. Come on. Offer yourself up fresh and new to God. A new vision, a brand new dream. Hallelujah. Say what the preacher preached to you this morning. God, you're going to be the most important thing in my life. Nothing else is going to have the power to take me away from your altar, from your word. Praise God. If you're in this altar this morning and you know about the truth of God, you look around, you make sure that there's not somebody right by you that needs the Holy Ghost this morning. You want to be sure that you help somebody and be a facilitator there. Praise God. Come on. Every voice, every heart, every life, lift it up to God again. Lead me not into temptation, oh God. Make me strong in your word. Make me able in the spirit, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 None of us stand on our own. Gotta have the Holy Ghost. Gotta have the Word of God. Mighty God, mighty God. Hallelujah. After you've said what you need to say, let that Holy Ghost begin to pray a prayer for you. Come on, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You need to let God begin to pray through your vessel this morning. You got to know this. Nobody can know this for you. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm not going to be what I was before God found me. Going to be found standing in the house of God, standing in the kingdom of God. Come on, that's got to be your heartbeat. You got to make a declaration about that today. You need to be able able to start this new year saying, I'm going to be found in the middle of God's kingdom, God's business, God's word, God's anointing. Everybody that's made a declaration, and in your heart, it's your greatest desire to live for God, lift up your hand and say amen. I want you to turn to somebody by you. Just get one right by you and tell them, I'm going to pray for you that you be strong and that you stand. And when the enemy comes to you, not if he comes to you, but when he comes to you, that you're going to be bold in the Holy Ghost. You're going to have the word of God in your mouth. Come on, pray for them. Pray anointing and blessing on their life right now. Mighty in the Holy Ghost.